I learned a lot of technique from Dick. My thesis had been on branching processes in discrete time, and I wanted now to generalize to continuous time, but not the Markovian case, where the life lengths are exponential, but the general case, life lengths with a general distribution. And for that, we needed renewal kinds of equations, linear and nonlinear, and quite a number of techniques in handling such things, and I learned a lot about that from Dick. So I certainly owe him a lot. Blackwell, perhaps less specifically, but still it was good to have him around from time to time. And then Feller and Kotz paid short visits while I was out there, and I remember Feller talked about his recurrence results, the basis for the Markov chain limit theorems, and I was greatly impressed with that, and learned something about it. I remember also that Sam Carlin and I had a reading project. We read together Kolmogorov's little book on the foundations of probability theory, because at the time I got my PhD in statistics, I still didn't know what a probability space was. Well, PhD in math.
A lot of teaching probability, at least yes. In the Soviet Union, I suppose in this country as well, because this was some kind of revolution. Before we started from considering separately discrete case and the case of density, and then the general axiomatics of Kolmogorov was postponed up to. But Feller's approach was made possible to start just from the beginning, from a probability space in discrete situation, and then you needed only a little adjustment. At least I taught probability theory at Moscow University before and after.
I think it's one of the great books of the century, or mathematics books of the century. In my early days at Rand, on two successive years, I gave a course on introductory stochastic processes at UCLA. The first year, it was quite interesting because Feller's book wasn't out yet, and I had to collect a lot of things. I used Uspensky's book, and there's a long review paper by Chandrasekhar that was familiar at the time, and a few other things. Second year, Feller's book came out, and I felt really they didn't need me so much anymore. It was all there, so I didn't give that course again. But it certainly revolutionized the teaching and also the availability of probability to text books to people in the sciences.
Tell a little bit about your contacts with Feller and with Mark Katz. Of course, with Feller we had a long history of contact by mail and also in some kind of scientific interaction, but we never seen each other.
Feller, I saw from time to time. I felt I knew him pretty well because I would see him at meetings. I never had prolonged contact with him. For example, I never spent a month or more in his company, so I really can't contribute any incidents that nobody knows. And I guess I stood in awe of him as so many people did. I got to know Kotz a little bit better because I had probably seen a little more of him even before he came to USC, and then he was with us about 3 years before he died, and I got to know him then. I guess one thing I could tell about him that is not what everybody knows is that when he came there, he could very well have simply been a mathematician and taken it easy, but he didn't choose to do that. He really worked very hard to contribute to the life of the department. He was instrumental in setting up our statistics program, and he came to department meetings and served on committees, and during 1 year, it actually was the last year just before he died, when we had rather a difficult situation there and the department was suddenly without a chairman. He volunteered to serve as chairman for a while until we found somebody. So he really gave of himself, and in a certainly admirable way. He didn't have to do that. We would have been glad to have him anyway.
Thank you. But for how long time?
I guess about 3 years.
No, he was there, but you probably knew him.
Oh, well, I knew him, sure, from about 1949. The first time I heard him talk was at, right here at Cornell, I believe. It was a meeting of the Math Society, I think perhaps in 1946, when I was still a graduate student. And I heard him talk about the Ehrenfest model. And in fact, he posed a problem which Dick Bellman and I picked up and solved, and a paper of ours appeared in the Pacific Journal a few years later. So in that way, he certainly had a direct influence very early, and I guess it was through him that I got interested in the notion of recurrence. That paper on the Ehrenfest model led to a conjecture which I worked out in a paper in the Transactions on recurrence.
Harris, Markov.
Well, no, this was a little earlier. It was 1951 or 52, and I had several ideas about recurrence and random walks. A paper not sufficiently quoted these days, I might, perhaps. But it was actually from that then that I became interested in the notion of an infinite invariant measure. And Robbins and I wrote a short paper on that in the Proceedings of the National Academy in 1953.
And this became very famous.
I think that became pretty well known. And then a couple of years later, I had a paper in the Berkeley Symposium of 1955 on the recurrence. That one got a lot of mileage.
Yes. Of course, to some extent, this depends also on some random factors. Some things immediately picked up, some things having as much merits are not so much,
I mean, if I had gone to Columbia instead of Princeton, I mean, if I had taken the Weather Bureau's advice rather than somebody else's advice, my life would certainly have been totally different. And I think it certainly has been better this way.